Good morning. I have two scriptures for us today. The first one comes from Habakkuk 3, verse 17 through 18. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Actually, going on with verse 19, God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. The second reading comes from Matthew Chapter 7, 24 through 27. This is at the end of Jesus' teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The scripture says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving this year, I think, like no other year in my lifetime, was very different. And it seems like it was different for everybody. There was so much restriction on how many could meet at a time, and just people's concerns about meeting, even if they could meet, and tension around what was in the past a time of joy and Thanksgiving and family togetherness, and people trying to find a way to adapt this holiday, this time of Thanksgiving, in new ways that would still be meaningful. And it was just one more hallmark of this pandemic time and the difficulty our culture is having in adapting to what we are doing and choosing to do and knowing just what to do. If ever there was a time we need wisdom, it's now. I once heard that experience is a great teacher, but it often and usually comes at a great cost. Experience will cost you something. You learn from it, but there's a cost. But wisdom is when you can learn from somebody else's experience, and so it doesn't cost anything. It's free because you're getting that from somebody who had the experience and it got passed down potentially. So how do we get wisdom about this pandemic, about how to face COVID-19 in Thanksgiving and now coming up Christmas? How can we have our relationships stay intact and at the same level as they've been? And how can we protect those relationships and let everybody know that we're there for them when there's this constant tension that's creating isolation and, in many cases, extreme loneliness? And I've seen so many different ways people are coping. Well, the Bible says in James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith." I like that. Let him ask in faith. So I'm asking for wisdom. Are you asking for wisdom? Have you been asking God for wisdom? I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't been. I like this quote by J.I. Packer. He says, "Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest good together with the surest means of attaining it." Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness, and as such, it is found in its fullness only in God. He alone is naturally and entirely and invariably wise. That's an awesome description of wisdom. Well, I think in our passage in Habakkuk, we see the prophet Habakkuk struggling with the silence of God. Israel's in a precarious place. The king, King Josiah, who was a good king and was bringing reform to Israel, suddenly dies. He's mortally wounded in battle and he ends up dying. And Israel backslides. It's far away from God. And Habakkuk is asking God to bring revival, and he knows with revival will come some judgment, some hardship. And he says these wonderful words that I think are important for us to never forget. He says, "If everything goes wrong, I will yet rejoice in the Lord, and I'll take joy in the God of my salvation." And he declares that God, the Lord, is his strength. There's wisdom in Habakkuk's way of dealing with difficult times, because what he's saying is the same thing that Jesus said in Matthew 7. He's saying, "I'm going to build my house on the rock. The rock is my relationship with Almighty God. The rock is what I know about God to be true." And that's why the Sermon on the Mount is so powerful, because we have three chapters of Jesus giving this discourse of everything he knows to be true about God. I'm sure there's much more than those three chapters that Jesus knew to be true, but in those three chapters, there's so much. It will totally change your life if you were to understand any of it. It is the same as building your house on the rock. And so as we face these times that we've never gone through before, and there's nobody to ask for wisdom about, because I don't know anyone who's gone through this before, we can only ask God for wisdom. And here the wisdom that we see in the scripture is to put our faith in who we know God to be, and in living our lives consistent with the character and nature of God. Rejoice in who God is. Rejoice in what you know to be true about God. Have you ever just, with the help of some scriptures, rejoiced over who God is? Just meditated on God and his greatness, his vastness, his sovereignty, his love, the love of Jesus Christ, being the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, being a God who so loved the world that he was not willing that any should perish, being the God who sent Christ not to condemn the world, but to save it. I mean, we could go on and on, just meditating on the goodness and the nature of who God is and rejoicing in his character. There's a passage in Hebrews that I want to share with you. Hebrews was written with some insight into some Christians who were thinking about going back to the old ways and living under the law. And the writer of Hebrews is telling them that wouldn't be wise, that wouldn't be smart, because the law, under the law, you basically have death because you'll never live up to it. But because of what you have in Christ, you have life. And he's making that distinction all the way through the book of Hebrews. But here in verse 26 of chapter 12, he says, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I love this passage, even though I don't fully understand it, but he's relating it to Exodus 19 and the holy mountain that God had revealed himself on and the shaking that happened back then and the terror that it put into people. And he's saying, yeah, well, this shaking will happen again for you as Christians, for us as Christians. But he says, during that shaking, let's realize that it's happening in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain. Well, what is it that cannot be shaken? It's the same thing that Habakkuk was observing. It's the character and nature of who God is, the thing that we can have joy in. It's actually what Jesus talked about. It's the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a kingdom that reflects the character and nature of God. And that alone cannot be shaken. See, when we build our lives around the nature and character of God as revealed through Christ in the scriptures, we're building a life that cannot be shaken. And we're supposed to, according to the writer of Hebrews, say, he says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The wise thing is to build our lives around the character and nature of God, so that no matter what's happening in our outer life, in this physical world, we can have the rock in our inner life as we move and live in the atmosphere of this world and the culture of this world. Jesus is the rock. He's your rock. And your relationship with him is the most important thing that you have. David said, the Lord is my portion. Because of Christ, we can say, the Lord is my portion. And I'm going to live my life according to the principles of the kingdom as revealed through Christ. And the Hebrew writer tells us to be grateful for this kingdom. This is the only kingdom that cannot be shaken. Do you feel like the earthly kingdoms of this world right now are being shaken? Do you feel like our nation right now is being shaken? But even so, do you see things through the lens of Jesus Christ, through faith, that cannot be shaken? I have been amazed at the love that I've seen, supernatural love, as people have adapted this Thanksgiving to the kingdom using kingdom principles. I know people who couldn't have a Thanksgiving with family or friends. And so you know what they did? I know two different people, two different women, that made pies and took them around to friends or to people in the neighborhood. They spent their Thanksgiving trying to bless others. My parents blessed me and my older daughter by creating a wonderful Thanksgiving with social distancing. And we were able to be in their garage, which is basically like another room of the home, so clean and orderly. And tables were set up for us so that we were socially distanced. And we FaceTimed with them while we ate these really wonderful Thanksgiving dishes. It was a wonderful way to celebrate Thanksgiving because of their thoughtfulness. I have friends, Lindy and Keith Swanson, who allowed me to stay in a room in their home so I didn't have to drive all the way back to Vancouver in, Wednesday night. And I could then easily go to Thanksgiving on Thursday. What a gift. It's such a gift to see people using the wisdom of God and the kingdom of God principles as they cope in a world that feels like it's being shaken. In this pandemic time, you are a light to this world. And there are many people who are seeking for hope, seeking to see light. Jesus said, don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine. So I want to encourage you to let your light shine as you live a life that is Christ-like, that is following the ways of Jesus Christ, that you're living with his love, you're living with his care and concern for others, and you're about giving and not about taking. Interesting, as you give, God will give you more resources so that you can give even more. It is fun to be a giver. And this Thanksgiving, I am grateful for the kingdom of God and that it has taught me about giving through each one of you. I'm grateful to know you. I ask God to bless you. Amen.